Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, good afternoon, my brothers and sisters. Good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of TNJ Radio. I'm in the building with my main man, Jay Wells. How you doing, brother?
I'm excellent, bro. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I hope everyone's having a great week. The sun is shining. Feeling good. Feeling great, everyone.
I wish I could say the same thing here, man. The sun is, you know what I'm saying, the sun isn't shining, but you know, as long as we got life, as long as we got breath, man, the sun always shines, right? So we keep it pushing regardless, and I'm still happy to be here and happy to be coming across these airwaves with this solution-based radio for the people and continuing to put our thoughts out in the atmosphere, and hopefully the things that we're talking about, the things that we discuss are, you know, things that you care about. And obviously, we always feel like you won't agree with everything that we talk about, but our main thing is to be thought-provoking. We want you to think. We want to say something that puts a bug in your ear, makes you think about something that you didn't think about, or makes you remember something that you have been thinking about. And that's what TNJ Radio is all about. That's why me and my man Jay Wells hooked up to do this show. And we've been doing it for a while now, and we really thoroughly enjoy it. We appreciate everybody that tunes in every week to support us. And we just do. You know, we do it in our spare time. And we just enjoy doing it because we have this message that we need to get out, and it's all about positivity, and it's all about solutions. Because 9 times out of 10, when everybody's talking about issues in the black community, they talk about the problem, but they never talk about the solution. And we like to talk about the issues, but more importantly, we like to focus on the solution. Because if you have a problem, it's good to talk about it, but you can complain all day until the cows come home. But unless you have a solution, what's the purpose of talking about it? With that being said, we're going to jump right into today's topic, which is forgiveness, which is something that I personally know a lot about. I'm an open book on the show, always have been, always will be, and that's just the way I rock. And so I want to open up with kind of a story about myself and forgiveness, and when it's been difficult for me to forgive, and when I've been able to let things go, and when I held on to things. You always hear that expression about turning the other cheek and, you know, being able to let things go and things of that sort. And in our community, one of the things that I think causes a lot of issues is the fact that we aren't able to forgive each other quickly and efficiently to resolve issues. As soon as we have a problem with somebody, our first reaction is to either say something to them verbally that will hurt them or lay hands on somebody. And me personally, growing up without parental guidance in my life, I grew up without both of my parents. They were around, but they weren't around. And I lived with a whole bunch of people growing up, you know, various family members, just folks that found the goodness and kindness in their heart to take me in at some point over the course of my life to show me love and try and help me to achieve something. Now, granted, they weren't bringing me up in the best of environments, but they still found it in their hearts to give your boy an opportunity to have somewhere to live, to put food on the table and things of that nature. And the story of forgiveness for me always leads back to my parents, because you can hold grudges with people. You can feel some type of way. But my thought process has always been, and this is the issue with our people, I don't want to let people live rent-free in my head. I don't want to let people live rent-free in my head. And what I mean by that is simply you can sit back and be mad at a person, have heat with whatever, whoever, about what. But at the end of the day, if you're the person that's hot about it, if you're the person that is harboring these feelings and this ill will, and meanwhile that other person is not thinking about you, and that's one thing that I learned quickly, whereas I could easily forgive that person. You never forget, but forgive that person. And we can talk about this in various aspects. We can talk about it when it comes to race relations, which we're definitely going to talk about, but I wanted to share a personal story because we'll definitely talk about the race relations when it comes to how do you forgive or have you forgiven white folks and things of that nature for the atrocities that have happened to our people and why are we in the conditions that we are in now because of that. But for me personally, I learned to forgive, but I won't forget. But you have to be able to forgive in order to heal and in order to not walk around as an angry person. And you cannot let people live in your head rent-free because 9 times out of 10, they are not thinking about you. And with that being said, Wells, kind of just jumping into our dialogue, why do you believe or how do you feel about forgiveness? And furthermore, where do you stand on when it's time to forgive somebody, who apologizes and how that works? Where do you come out on that, man?
For me, man, it always goes back to the level of the transgression and what took place. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to, like, I'm probably one of the people that, like, anybody knows me knows I kind of, someone does me wrong, I'm not going to act like I don't hold on to it. It just lingers with me. You know what I'm saying? It's like if someone does something to me, it's cool. I move past it because I'm not the type of person to kind of like let something interrupt what I do. I have a very whatever kind of personality. I won't let something bother me to the point where it's interrupting like my program or what I got going on. But at the same time, for me to actually say I forgave someone, again, depending on what it was, it's hard for me to do that because I have family members, man, that have done things to me that I just can't let slide. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's kind of like what you said as far as letting people live rent-free in your head. See, I can't say I can forgive them. I don't think really consider that forgiveness. Well, to me, it's not because I still think about that. It's like that whole forgive and not forget kind of thing. It's kind of crazy to me because I can't fathom that because once it happens, okay, it happened. And just because I'm not addressing that situation with you, I've learned how to live with that situation being what it is. I'm cool going forward, but knowing, yo, I will not deal with this person if I don't have to. And if I do have to deal with this person, they will know that I am not messing with them. You know what I'm saying? It's like they will know that, yo, Wells is not about to talk to me. You know, if I see Wells, I need to not say nothing. You know what I'm saying? It's like that's how I am with people. Like once you get to that point with me, I'm one of those people that will kind of just like leave it where it is. Because I'm not the guy that's going to be running around arguing, fighting, doing all of that crazy stuff. That's not really my thing. I'll let you be you, and I'm going to go ahead and do me. Because in most cases, someone that does cross me in a way, it's not someone I have to deal with. You know what I mean? It's not something I have to deal with. But and then that's just on a more of a personal level. But on a race level, when it comes to forgiving white people, those kind of things. It's kind of weird to me. It's like when you think about, like, something that's really kind of been eating at me is the situation in Charleston and seeing how quickly friends and family members and relatives were quick to say they forgive the shooter. And that was just, like, blasphemous to me in my head. Like, how could you get to this point already? Like, what would make you feel like this person warrants forgiveness when he hasn't even apologized? You know what I'm saying? There's no level of contrition there. This man, it's like I don't see the reason for wanting to say you forgive or you wanting that. And then it kind of sparked like other thoughts in my head, like where does that come from? You know what I'm saying? Why are we programmed to forgive people? It's kind of like society has convinced us that we need to forgive people in order to move on. And it's like how does that come? We live in a country that's built on oppression. And honestly, it's like our country is like the United States of America is built on taking advantage of other people, spilling other people's blood, and we act like it's our job to forgive everyone. I'm pretty sure the original indigenous people do not forgive the British for coming over and doing what they did. You know what I'm saying? It's like I don't know where this comes from. And it's like culturally, like how was this built? You know what I'm saying? Like where do we get to the point where it's okay for someone to do something to you and you feel like you have to forgive them? And like when I think of America, and again, it's like I always say, man, there's no other place. It's like no matter what you say about America and how much you bash it, it's hard to imagine places that you would rather live in. You know what I'm saying? It's like I feel, as much as I feel a lot of Pan-Africanism thoughts and the beliefs with it, but a lot of it kind of goes back to, it's like, man, my ancestors, we spilled so much blood in this country. I want to rebuild this country for it to be mine because it's just as much mine as it is anyone else's. You know what I mean? So it's like, but it's like it goes back to the whole, like, where to start. It's like, I don't know where the forgiveness thing kind of rolls. And it's like, and again, taking it back to Charleston, it's like, I really don't understand that. And it's like, it's kind of crazy to me. It's like, and my question for you, Travis, is like, where do you feel like, where do you feel like that comes from? Like, do you think that's like a religious thing? Do you think religion had a lot to do with that? Was people feeling that need to forgive?
Absolutely. And this is probably a touchy subject for a lot of people. And it's funny because every time we've had religion even come up on the show, you know, like black folk, you know what I mean? Like, we real religious, which is cool. Like, I don't have no problem with that, you know. That's dope. My thing is, religion is the root of our ability to forgive in a very quick manner, in my personal opinion. Hands down, no questions asked. You know, we were fed Christianity by our oppressors, and we adopted it, and it's deep-rooted in our culture. You basically can't tell a black person nothing about Christianity and God, for that matter. And it's funny because, like, I was at my boy barbecue the other day, and I was sitting there, and, like, everybody, we was having a good time and everything, and it was just funny how often church came up when, like, their wives came out or, you know, because, like, the brothers was in the backyard, you know, chopping it up or whatever, and then, like, the women were in the house, and then, like, when the women came outside, like, it was always a church topic ended up coming up somehow. And I'm like, bruh, why every time, like, your wife come outside or the women come outside, everybody want to start talking about church? That was hilarious. But anyway, back to the subject at hand, though. I feel like, you know, that's what it is. And that's what it's rooted in. Because the Bible, you know, teaches forgiveness. You know, it teaches you to let things go. And I mean, I agree with that. Like I said earlier, I forgive, man. Like, I don't have an ounce of hate or animosity or beef in my heart for nobody. It's not in me. I just wasn't built that way. So I forgive naturally. And I think that for most people, it's built on the spiritual aspect. But the problem with that is that, in my humble opinion, you don't analyze the situation for what it is, so you become almost brainwashed to an extent because you just forgive and you don't take action on the acts that you're forgiving. So, for example, you say, let's turn the other cheek and forgive my man in Charleston, which I think you should do, because if you don't, you're letting somebody walk around in your head and live rent-free. But at the same time, what are you going to do to address that specific issue that occurred? So if you're going to forgive, that's wonderful, and I'm all about that. But then you have to take that next step and say, okay, I forgave you, but this is systematic destruction of our people that's going on. And even like with the black churches that are getting burned down right now, everybody, you know, there's been outrage about it, but people are still saying, you know, if it's the Lord's will, that's what it is. And I think that, you know, that level of forgiveness is intolerable to me, in a sense, because you can't just say it's the Lord's will and that's what God wanted to happen, and then the churches will get rebuilt. There has to be action to be oriented with that act of forgiveness. And see, that's where the disconnect happens a lot of the times. The forgiveness happens, but then there's no action associated with it, or the forgiveness never happens, and then you just have a dysfunctional family, a dysfunctional individual. I have family members that grew up similar to myself and cannot forgive the individuals that they feel did them wrong. So what they do is walk around all day angry. And what that does is it affects your life. It affects your goals. It affects your aspirations, everything that you want to do, because you're so mad, you feel less than, you feel like you've been cheated out of life, you feel like you didn't get a fair shake. Then you want to blame your mama, you want to blame your daddy, but there's enough blame to go around. But if you have the ability to forgive them, then you'll be able to move on with your life. And I think in our case as Black folks, we have so much of that situation that I just described going on that unfortunately we can't let go, and then we get stuck in these cycles of anger and built-up animosity that comes from a lack of the ability to forgive the people that did us wrong, and that's kind of how I view it. What say you, bro?
So I think a lot of it is kind of piggybacking what you were saying. It's like with forgiveness, I think a little bit of it has to do with, I think a lot of people just forgive, and they do the forgive and forget kind of thing, and you kind of get away from addressing the problem. Like you said, there's no action behind it. And for me, I really feel like with a lot of things, it's hard. It doesn't deserve to be forgiven. So that's why it's kind of hard for me to say I'll forgive. I'm good at taking care of a situation and moving on from that situation, because I really think it is counterproductive for someone to let something manifest and live within them, and that one moment, that one situation inhibits your ability to kind of move forward and live your life. You know what I'm saying? I really think that's ridiculous, but as far as, I feel like it's more so people need to focus on addressing and taking care of the situation instead of focusing on forgiveness. And again, that's why I would say, so it really depends on what happened, what took place. I think those are the primary factors. But addressing situations and addressing what took place, it should be at the forefront above forgiveness. That's just my personal opinion. I think we need to focus on addressing what happened and then moving forward before we can even talk about, oh, I want to forgive this person. I want them to feel like I hold nothing towards them. Forget that. I want you to know I'm mad at you until I secure everything I secure of. That's just the way I kind of look at it. But it's like, I don't want it to feel like we just kind of let this go. And again, going back to the situation with Charleston, or going back to what's happening now with the churches. Like these churches being burned down, majority of pretty much everything that you're seeing is pretty much showing that these were KKK members. You know what I'm saying? And with 9 times out of 10, the same people that cause these flyers are the same cops that are investigating it when they take their hoods off. You know what I'm saying? Like these are like in the middle of nowhere places, in some deep in the South where this stuff is kind of taking place. And it's really kind of ridiculous for us to kind of pretend like we don't know what it is and try to pretend like we're going to forgive these people and look past it, because that's the godly thing to do. But that's just not, it's to the point where it's a detriment almost. You know what I mean? It's like it's to the point where it's detrimental to your cause to continue to kind of let this slide with no repercussion. And that's where I think the whole unburdening your heart thing kind of hurts us. And I really think we kind of lose track of what's important when we do that. Because at the end of the day, it's like we have things that we're trying to do. We have goals that we are trying to accomplish. When you have something consistently preventing you from doing that, you don't keep doing the same thing. You know what I'm saying? It's like that just doesn't,
yeah.
I know this is a register to me. And I just think that's like, it's to the point where it's just counterproductive. And the primary objective should be moving forward. Above forgiveness, above everything else, the primary objective should be moving forward. That's just my opinion.
Word. And it's funny that you mentioned that, because like I want to jump into like this double standard of forgiveness, which is really, really fascinating to me, because it's one of those things where Black people forgive and Jewish people have experienced the same or similar atrocities to what Black people have, right? But the fact that they're visually white makes it different. And I'm thinking, like, earlier this week, I saw a picture on, I think it might have been Facebook or something, where after the gay marriage thing went through, they had a picture of the two brothers, John Carlos and my man, who put the black fist up at the Olympics, And then it had like it had the gay the gay rights rainbow across that picture. And I thought that was like real disrespectful. And it just because it's
extremely.
Like, because it's like you can't even compare these two struggles because they aren't even in the same stratosphere. You know what I'm saying? And people have forgiven, in my opinion, the atrocities that occurred with, well, let me put it like this. The Holocaust lives eternally as a true situation that occurred in our world, and people really were harmed by it, and it, you know, lives on that way. Whereas when it comes to black folks, we're expected, and Jewish people don't forgive. They haven't forgotten about that. They won't let you forget about it, and it's okay because they're white. Like, visually, they're white, right? They're European, essentially, but in origin. But when it comes to black folks, we are expected to forgive the atrocities of the slave trade and the way that we were brought to this country and our plight in this country. And so there's this really odd double standard when it comes to those, because there's no difference between the two, but we're expected, because we're at the lower class, because Jewish people were white and eventually allowed to build up businesses and create financial capital, where just because of the color of our skin, we weren't allowed to do so. And with that being said, the double standard lies because we aren't expected to pop off or to protest or to say that, no, we aren't happy with this. We don't forgive you for what you're doing right now. This stuff that's going on right now is crazy. And so that double standard right there is just extremely fascinating to me. What do you think about that, Wells? Like, what comes to your mind when you think about kind of like that double standard when it comes to the way black folks are forgive a situation like Charleston immediately, whereas you think about other groups that have experienced similar atrocities and they aren't expected to do the same thing?
It's the ultimate hypocrisy. It's like when you look at, like, for example, here in Washington, D.C., you have this huge Holocaust Museum. Holocaust Museum, first, if you've never seen it, it's a great place to visit. I honestly enjoyed it. And, again, as a non-European, seeing this place, it's like, wow, this is pretty impressive. It's very elaborate. And at the same time, it's the most depressing thing you'll ever see in your life. It makes you feel everything that could have possibly felt, every possible emotion you would have felt. And, again, that's here in Washington, D.C. So you go further down, you go to the National Mall, you could find the African History Museum. And the African History Museum is pretty dope. It has a lot of good stuff. It has a lot of cultural artifacts, a lot of great artwork and things of that nature. But you know what? There's a small section about that includes slavery. You know what I'm saying? There's a small section there. But so keep in mind, you have an entire museum based on the oppression of Jews, and you have a small section based on African history, based on slavery and the African Museum. You know what I'm saying? So it's like that right there just kind of gives you an idea of what's glorified and what's not. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and it's really kind of ridiculous. Like, you talk about 9/11, I mean, we talk about every 9/11 is an entire, every September 11th in the United States, we're going to have a huge memorial in every sporting event and everything talking about the victims and what happened at 9/11. You know, and that's guaranteed. But, a situation kind of like, we could talk about Tulsa, Oklahoma, if you want, or we could just talk about what happened in Charleston. Just thinking about that. I can assure you the people of Charleston will not get that same level of respect from a terrorist attack. You know what I'm saying? Like, this guy was a domestic terrorist that planned and plotted on these people, and I guarantee it will not get the same effect or the same shock factor that 9/11 get. And again, it's not trying to compare the two or putting them on the same or equal playing field. It's just a lack of play that they get and the lack of respect that's shown towards the people. It's just kind of ridiculous to me. And it's just, honestly, it's super disrespectful. And it's one of those things that until we hold people accountable and make people acknowledge, like, yo, this double standard is real, is going to continue to be swept under the rug. It's like last night, one of the churches was literally on fire. And I posted a picture of this on Instagram. It's like you can go to the CNN homepage. They're talking about the guy that got caught that broke out of jail 3 weeks ago.
Right,
this is
right,
on the CNN
right.
homepage. They're talking about the guy that went to jail 3 weeks ago while a fire, whether there's a church actively burning. It's like, this is what we're going to talk about? This is what we're going to talk about? It's like, it was just kind of ridiculous to me. And it shows that, you know, it's really, they choose to turn their back on us. It's like the mass media chooses to turn its back on us. So, and again, I talk about it all the time, but the propaganda machine, man, it's done a hell of a job. It's done exactly what they wanted it to do.
Yeah, it definitely worked, man. From every aspect that you look at it, it worked. And they did what they designed it to do. With that being said, you know, TNJ Radio, solution-based radio, man, we're going to go ahead and jump into these solutions because that's what we do. You know, we're going to talk our ish, but at the same time, you know, we got to talk about what's real out here and how we can put real solutions out into the community right now that you can institute at this exact moment. And I'll go ahead and jump into mine first. When it comes to forgiveness, for me personally, I think it's extremely straightforward. I mean, this is something that you can do right now with anybody that you have heat with, that anybody that you got beef with. I think that the best way to do it is to look at people as you would see yourself. Like, when you see the person that you have a problem with, you have to be able to see yourself in them. And when I say that, I mean that you have to be able to see that they're flawed, just like you're flawed. I mean, we all flawed. We all got things that we don't do perfectly. We all mess up. We all are flawed human beings, because if we weren't, then we would be perfect. And, of course, that's not possible. So you have to be able to see the God, the humanity in your brother and your sister and be like, yo, I understand that you can do something silly that would make me mad, just like I can do something silly that would make you mad. And if you did something to me, or rather if I did something to you to make you mad, then I would expect you and I will hope that you would allow me to redeem myself and forgive me, and we can rebuild and we can build. We can get back to where we were. But you have to be able to see yourself in other people. If you can't see yourself in other people, then you'll never be able to forgive them, because you'll never see them as an equal. You'll never see them as a human. You have to be able to see yourself in other people in order to forgive. Once you do that, you'll be able to move on and keep it 100. What you got, Jay?
Yeah, I'm going to keep it. It's like my eye is pretty simple, and it goes back to this Langston Hughes quote that kind of sits on me, man. Negroes, sweet and docile, meek, humble, and kind, beware the day they change their minds. And that kind of sits on me, man. It's like, as a culture, man, we kind of let a lot of stuff slide. And it's kind of, it's like it just doesn't make sense to me. We just need to start addressing things. And my solution is like a challenge to each one of our listeners and to everyone that deals with forgiveness. You want to address things. Don't run away from a topic. Talk to people. If it's a friend, family member, coworker, talk to them. Challenge them. And the thing is, people are so quick to get defensive and run from avoid conversations and avoid these topics. Address the situation instead of just focusing on forgiving and forgiving. Because when you address the situation and you handle the situation, it's easy to kind of move forward and truly forgive someone instead of just saying, you know what, I'm not going to worry about it. I forgive them. Let it go. That's the best way to do it. Address the situation and to find a way to kind of allow yourself to kind of move forward and, again, truly move forward. And culturally, I think that's something that we can really do instead of just letting things slide. We need to address these situations, address the white supremacy, address oppression, address these things instead of just talking about it, letting it go, address it. Harass your pastors, harass your congressmen, harass your community leaders, whoever it is, harass them. Address the situation instead of ducking it. That's my solution.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's dope. With that being said, we really appreciate you all tuning in this evening. You know, we appreciate the support. We'll be here again next week at 6:30, same time, TNJ Radio, solution-based radio. And tell a friend to check us out if you dig the show. Please tell a friend to check us out. Educate all, motivate many, inspire one. God is love. Peace.